Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, that was Rondo Olachurka, right?
Fearless.
What is it?
Fearless, Beethoven, Holst.
Oh, I told her I can read music, but I was praying that was a song, and you know, it wasn't. Thank you all for having me here this morning. It means the world to me in this great time of transition. Right? We can all feel that. And thank you for the introduction, very special friend. As Mark said, my name is Sally Custer. I hold a degree in human communications and have been working in the field since the mid-70s. Mark and I met at the start of my career when we worked for a company called Lifespring. Has anybody heard of that organization? It was an amazing time of life, and they were heady days, really heady days. I was in my early 20s, and Mark isn't that far ahead of me, I don't think. Lifespring was part of the human potential movement, where EST, actualization, SciWorld seminars, we're all talking about our potential, like what did we really have to offer? That's how I always held it. And it initiated and inspired a lot of the coaching and workshops and consulting work that we're seeing in our communities today. Back then, Jimmy Carter was president, and the world as we knew it was relatively peaceful, as far as we knew anyway, right? Because we had newspapers, you know, we didn't get our information like we do today. Mark and I worked with a team to open the East Coast, and we were in Philadelphia, New York, Washington, D.C., and Boston. We had a blast. It was fun, he said yes. Mark and I reconnected recently on Facebook. How many of you guys use Facebook? It's awesome if you don't. It's a great way to keep in touch with family and reconnect with old friends and around the world. And in the early 70s, for you, those of you who were there, we communicated in person, by phone, in letters that were handwritten and sent in the mail, or we could type them. We actually did have typewriters. Remember those electronic typewriters, you guys? And we could actually go back and delete. Or we used little eraser pieces of paper to erase. Remember that? Oh, gosh. Anyway, those were the days. Faxing. Remember the first faxes that took hours? Just hours. So we were on the East Coast, and our company was based in San Francisco in the Bay Area. And faxes took, I don't know, maybe a couple hours. We'd have to check with them by phone to see if they'd received it. I know it's hard for the younger people to believe, but it's true. We had telegraph, CB radios, broadcast radio and television, newspapers, magazines, and books. And of course, we had the arts, right? That's been consistent throughout our history. That's how we told our stories, and we still are. We still mostly relied on the telephone and in-person, one-on-one, and in group meetings. And we could even do conference calls. There was kind of an intra-office connection you could get on those old phones that had more than one line. And then I think we could talk across the nation, but there are probably people in the room that would correct me about that, but it seems like we did. This is good, I turned the page, because jump forward to today, right? Mark and I both have white hair, first of all, and we've taken a technological leap into a future we only dreamed of before. We watched sci-fi movies and we read some Ray Bradbury, and they kind of were predictive of where we are today, which when we look at our current sci-fi movies makes me just a little bit nervous. A lot of end of the world stuff, right? That we apparently feel we might be facing. When I was writing this talk earlier this week, I looked up faxing on my telephone because I was typing on my computer, on my laptop. I love Facebook. I guess I kind of showed earlier, and I love to stay connected with my friends. The internet, email, Skype, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, FaceTime, and I'm sure the younger people in the room could name dozens more ways to be connected, allowing us to communicate globally relatively easily and relatively inexpensively. We're more connected than ever. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, in terms of ability to talk to each other and get information out. I mean, Canada can send the USA America's great tweets. Wasn't that great? Did any of you guys see that? That was very sweet of them. reacting to some of the issues we're facing in current times. We can also hear and read reactions about our election immediately, whether we want to or not, right? There's so much information bombarding us. The amount of data our brains process is 400 billion bits of data per second, right? That's our unconscious mind. Take that in for a minute. That's a lot. But don't worry, we're only aware of 2,000 bits per second, right? This is according to Dr. Joseph Dispenza, and we wonder why we're distracted, right? How do we even stay in this? It's literally a wonder we can get out of bed in the morning sometimes. And I have that feeling every once in a while. There's too much. With all the technology at our fingertips, many of we baby boomers and Gen Xers, how many baby boomers do we have in the room? Yep, Gen X. Yay, love you guys. My kids. And then I'm fairly certain I speak for the greatest generation. Do we have any greatest generation in the room? Thank you, guys. When I say we hold some concern for our millennials. Millennials? Seriously? Okay. It's okay. Raise your hands. We love you guys. Yeah. Are you kidding me? We can't do this without you. Sincerely. But we have a concern that may be too much. Are you guys holding your phones right now? I'm just wondering, too much time spent with all of our social media apparatus. And you guys even do that like when you're in groups and hanging out, right? You'll text and, no? You're special. Oh, good for you. A balance. Do you guys hear that? All right, so that just, you see how this works? It's just amazing. Thank you guys. Thank you. I have to admit though, I have some affliction too. Like I'll go into a business meeting and my phone is right by me all the time. And I get distracted if it lights up, right? And I love to be on Facebook, so my phone goes with me everywhere and I check in all the time because it lets us. It tells us when we have information coming in. So it's kind of, it's like, I have that too. I love the access. But am I hiding behind my screen? Obviously you guys kind of think so because you discipline yourselves, right? To set it down and be together. It's very, very special, and it really is. Because that can help us isolate, right? It's a way that we have to kind of put walls in between us if we don't want to be connected. But we're striving for connection, all of us. That's truly what we want in our hearts. And are we getting what we want? Sebastian Younger is a world correspondent. I think he wrote for Vanity Fair, for those of you that read magazines. He's an author, and he demonstrates in his new book, Tribe, on Homecoming and Belonging, just how at odds the structure of modern society is without our tribal instincts. He argues that the difficulties that many of our veterans face when they're coming home stem from not only the trauma that they suffered, but also from what he calls the individualistic society they must be reintegrated into, right? Younger suggests that we have a deeper problem woven into the very fabric of our modern existence, and concludes that in reality, our circumstances aren't so bleak. I was talking to somebody earlier about that, that we're, he actually posits that we're gonna be okay. It's definitely worth a read, try, short, easy read, and deeply touching. What Younger says that by understanding our modern guises, like what we wear, I almost did it too much, using my hands. What we wear on the outside to hide ourselves, that we really truly belong to one tribe or another, right? You can identify some of the tribes that you live in, right? And actually, by realizing that we're part of a tribe, this can help us not only with the problems in our country, but also what we experience in ourselves. Younger also suggests that episodes of war or natural disasters actually show us how connected we all are. And when we face trial and tribulation, I don't even want to say the word, a community learns to function as a tribe, interdependent and developing a natural order within the group to face all the challenges that we face, like war, for example. Look at the tornado last week on the coast, right? The gas explosion in Northwest Portland. How people came together as a community, and not only did folks get out alive, very, very few people were hurt. And that took an amazing amount of interaction and communication to have that work out okay for all of us. We also got to see it in real time. Now that's kind of unusual. And I remember when George Bush Sr. was president and we went into Kuwait, we got to see war in real time. Now they stopped that. We don't get to see it anymore. Because I think by getting it, it does something to our psyche and we might actually change when we look at it. So they no longer show that footage. It deeply touched me. So what happened at the coast and what happened in Northwest this past week really shows that what Younger is talking about and what the veterans miss when they come home, that sense of community. Since all communications start with our relationship with ourselves, we need to first maintain the quality of that relationship. Melanie Beatty, you all know her, she's known for her codependency work, reminds us that the quality of our relationship with ourselves will determine the quality with all relationships. When we tell ourselves how we feel, we can tell others. And when we can accept what we want and need, we'll be able and ready to have our wants and needs met. Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, does anybody remember that? Okay. Places belonging and love right in the middle, right after our survival needs. Are we meeting our belonging needs through social media? Are the Kardashians our extended family, right? As Bradbury predicted in Fahrenheit 451. And I have a true confession here. I'm completely addicted to the Kardashians. I had to have a cable company knock back my subscription so I couldn't watch it. So it's right here. Really kind of, hello. If anybody knows what's going on with them, I'd love to talk to you about it. It's kind of sickening. If our belonging needs aren't being met, how can we possibly move up to our esteem needs and our self-actualization needs? I think it's a key piece for all of us. And let's look at our current presidential election. Yes, I had to bring it up. What's happening there for each of us and as a community? We see the separation between us in ways I've never seen before. And I think you guys agree with that, and it's pretty distinct. There's an us versus them. Them being women, all of us, Hispanics, Muslims, immigrants, all versus white men. Trump's actually defining our tribes. Do you know that? There's a bit of gratitude in this for me. And you know what? We're getting a side benefit from his run because we gotta take the good, right, everybody? We're coming together as tribes, and there are groups of us standing up and saying no more. I can tell you that as a woman, since the first debate, something happened. I've become acutely aware of how women, and I hope unconsciously by many men, subtly and overtly disparage, and also it actually leads to some abuse in some situations. Many of us hadn't spoken about that before, the subtle stuff, you know, the subtle stuff. I have a hair trigger temper, especially when I'm told I'm too emotional. Can you imagine? And that women, hello, are told to calm down. Whew. Just this past week, I was told in a business meeting, I know you ladies don't know much about football. That poor guy. I just nailed him. He's one of the good, well-intended men, right? Let alone comments on the bus by Donald Trump, right? That women will allow stars to do anything. I worked in the music industry for close to 30 years, and none of the little rock stars that I met in my world gave unwanted kisses or gross. Never. Although I know it happens. I just didn't see it. I, though, like statistically speaking for other women in this room, have experienced being touched inappropriately by a stranger. three times, once at age 16, and each time in a public place surrounded by people. I never told anyone until this past week. Thank you, Donald Trump. And thank you, social media, for bringing so many women together to let us know we're not alone. And you know what? We are Metasol. And we thought we were mad in the 60s. We were just getting started. And men, you real ones in the room, have stood up beside us. And I thank you guys for that. Wonderful art in the form of poetry, essays, and even rap. A song by Eminem. Who would have thought? Show us alignment. And in real time. That's the other thing I really value. I feel our brothers and sisters closing ranks, circling the wagons. We're coming together out of a despicable situation that's been going on for lifetimes. Can you guys feel it? Something's happening. Something's afoot. Again, this wouldn't have happened to this degree had we not all become aware of Donald Trump and those of his, I called it minions in my paper, but that seems just a little too judgmental in this moment, so his followers. I have a feeling of a powerful surge of female strength from that deep tribal place in each of us that calls us to protect ourselves, our children, our families, and our tribe, and take this stand together. I call this a miracle made of a mistake, and Donald Trump running on the Republican ticket, I think we can all admit, was a mistake by the party who put him there. We're reimagining our future and ourselves, Mark said earlier. Boy, howdy. The process is speeding up. Can you feel that too? We have folks like Elon Musk and other multi-billionaires convinced we're living in a matrix-style computer simulation. They really believe that. And they're throwing a lot of money to get underneath us, underneath it, to figure it out, how it works, and save our collective souls. That's their mission in this. We'll have to wait and see. Have any of you watched the new HBO series Westworld? A lot of us remember the first one with Yul Brynner, right? It's a disturbing film. The new Westworld is also toying with artificial intelligence and consciousness, and they're taking it a little deeper. I don't know how it's going to turn out, so I'm not sure I recommend the whole thing, but Anthony Hopkins is in it, and I trust him, right? So I'm watching it. So when we ask ourselves, do we live in a community in a constantly changing global landscape? Because this is important. When we ask ourselves, how do we live in a community in an ever-changing global landscape? We can go live with Amish. They're pretty good at this. The indigenous peoples in South America or Australia, they'd let us. Or we can embrace and make the best of the changes that are happening, like we find ourselves doing in this election. We must be willing to shake up our old systems and build them anew. The ones that are no longer serving us, like the global economy and global banks that serve greed before they serve humans and animals and earth. Like our trade policies that especially have food and other goods shipped around the world when those products and produce could be made and farmed locally. Bill Clinton. Okay. We still need to watch this. Do you know that in 2015, one of our local fast food chains, and I'm not going to name names, but you know them well, had a supply chain breakdown. They had a hard time getting organic beef and eggs locally, because that's important for them to buy within 50 miles radius of their stores. The demand for these items had risen, or the organic piece, and the Northwest hadn't planned for the increase. This led the CEO of that company to do a little research. He discovered that, as an example, Carlton Farms, who are pork purveyors, local, and they're a great company, had gotten rid of their pigs and farmed them out literally to Canada. So they shipped the pigs in from Canada and processed them here and claimed they're local. Right? Like we're just off, right? Just a titch. The CEO got concerned about this, needless to say. What if something happened here, one of Younger's events, like an earthquake? No trucks, trains, nothing could get to us. And how would we feed ourselves? He realized we wouldn't be able to for very long. That restaurant chain and others are coming together and meeting to bring forward an approach to revitalize our region, particularly our food supply. This is a project that will take an effort to educate and pull communities together. Social media will support this. So I have a gratitude there. Another example is the effort coming out of Standing Rock against the pipeline. All of us are involved. We are. We're staying up. We know what's happening. We're supporting in the ways we can. We're connected and connecting. Reflecting in your own world for a moment, we're at a time of extreme turbulence, accompanied by evolutionary change. You can all feel that, right? Can you see how to be in community during this swift and sometimes violent times? Do you see that you're doing it right now? Right here at White East. That the community you've brought together as a shield, both metaphorically and energetically, provides solace and that sense of community. Intimacy is a feeling, isn't it? It's a feeling. It takes us slowing down enough to have the experience of it. Can you feel it in this room right now? Our connection to ourselves and to each other, and while we're at it, every other being,